Coquette is joining us tonight live on Crime and Punishment. Steve Coquette, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Very good of you to join us, and an interesting topic for sure. Let me ask you this. I'm sure there's great differences between many of these cases you look at. Safe to say, though, that in probably all of these one-punch homicide cases, the perpetrator, the person throwing the punch, never thought that it was going to kill the victim.
I've not encountered one case in which someone thought that they were going to kill someone. All the assailants seem to be very remorseful. One of the things I did for this documentary is we interviewed five different inmates in five different states who had killed someone with one punch and only one punch, and they were all quite remorseful. And as you might suspect, I don't think there's a more remorseful group of people behind bars.
Well, you're right, because there's obviously different degrees of homicide, and it's reflected in the types of charges here in Canada. You've got your first-degree murder, your second-degree murder, and your manslaughter. Manslaughter is at the lowest end of the spectrum, and of course, manslaughter implies an unintended killing, often equated with something more accidental, spontaneous, whereas a first-degree murder is seen as cold-blooded, deliberate, planned, premeditated. Obviously, throwing a punch, I think a lot of people, and heck, I mean, here in Canada, Steve Coquette, we love our hockey. We love our hockey fights. And in a lot of ways, you know, in covering this one-punch homicide trial, as I have for the last few weeks, it sort of dawned on me listening to the facts that it's amazing we haven't seen a one-punch homicide happen in a hockey game.
I do think back in the Reagan era here in the States, there was one case where not one of the players got punched, but I think a father was angry with the coach. And I think the father was one punched. I believe the coach was a volunteer father who was teaching younger kids, coaching
sure.
younger kids. And so that did get a lot of attention during the Reagan era, because I'm surprised that so few of these incidents actually happen around sporting events. Out of the 191, I think only seven were near sporting events. As you might guess, most of them seem to be in bars or outside bars. And the biggest factor is, of course, alcohol.
Yeah, and probably alcohol on both parties. Use that would be the perpetrator and the victim. And, you know, one of the arguments that I heard in this case that I just covered here in Winnipeg was that perhaps the shoe very easily could have been on the other foot, that the victim may have just as easily been the perpetrator. And I'm sure, Steve Coquette, you've seen examples of that as well, where the whole self-defense sort of argument that somebody said, well, geez, I felt like if I didn't throw that punch to defend myself that I would have been on the receiving end of it. I could have been killed.
That's often the defense of many of these people who go to trial after killing someone with one punch, that it was self-defense. And now, one of the things that surprised me, I started this project in December of 2008, and I never anticipated seeing any of these events on film. But I encountered about a dozen on film, including three in Canada, one in Halifax, one in Ottawa, and one in Edmonton. The one in Halifax and one in Australia was similar in that it was actually caught on a cell phone.
As a lot of incidents these days no doubt are, and again, you'll probably see even more of them as we go forward in the future, given how many people these days are equipped with a camera and
right.
seemingly catching everything going on around them. Your intended audience here, I know it's multifaceted, but you know, you want to do this project obviously to raise awareness, Steve Coquette, but also to as a preventative measure. And it strikes me that there's a lot of people who could learn a lot from your documentary, One Punch Homicide, because I think, again, a lot of people probably think, well, it's not that serious. I mean, what kind of damage can you cause with throwing a punch?
Well, I ran across a statement from a district attorney in King County, which happens to be where Seattle is. And he said that they have 4 to 6 of these incidents every year in Seattle. And if you extrapolate from that, I think we probably have between 500 and 1,000 of these in the United States every year. Now, the thing is, too, keep this in mind. As you very well know, most of these one punches do not result in homicide.
Sure.
But many others have some fairly serious injuries. I know I have run into friends since starting this. One said that he had been through 5 surgeries because of a one-punch homicide. His one eye socket was destroyed. And another friend who grew up on Long Island, it happened to him, and he said that in one eye he hasn't had peripheral vision for quite some time. And then I suspect that there are many instances that don't get much attention because the victims end up pretty much as vegetables. I know that there was one in Michigan where it happened at a school, and the victim was 15 years old, and he lingered for 8 years before dying.
Wow. Tell me about the ex-Marine who saw One Punch Homicide at a screening you had back in December, and what he had to say about it. A very interesting revelation from him.
Yeah, it really surprised me because it was an audience that I had never foreseen. But he saw One Punch Homicide, and afterwards he admitted that he had started some fights by throwing the first punch. And he also said in the 1980s he had worked for a while as a bouncer, where he once knocked someone out with one punch. And he said the film made him feel incredibly grateful that he had never killed anyone, and he also vowed that he would never throw another first punch. And that is a market that I had never thought of, because the film was made primarily to convince teenagers to never throw a first punch.
Well, it's a very important message, absolutely. And again, the documentary One Punch Homicide, you can read more about it. You can see a trailer for it at the website, the official website, One Punch Homicide. One is spelt O-N-E, not just the number. One, O-N-E, Punch Homicide. .com to see a lot more about it. And I guess the hope, Steve Coquette, is that you get this message out to as many people as possible. I guess primarily young men would be the target audience, as you mentioned, because no doubt the vast majority of these cases, I suspect, do involve teenagers and young men who are involved in these incidents.
That's true. I did run across 4 instances where women had one-punched men, 3 of them in the United States and 1 in Scotland.
And killed them?
And killed them.
Hmm.
I think the one in Scotland was perhaps the most unusual. 2 young women, both teens, late teens, guys coming out of a liquor store with a newly purchased bottle, and apparently I got the feeling that maybe the 2 girls had done this before. One of them slugged him, and the other grabbed the bottle before it could hit the pavement. And, well, it killed him.
Hmm. Well, and that's, I suspect one other common theme you probably see in a lot of these cases is there ends up being a secondary point of impact. That is, it's not just the punch to the head that proves to be damaging, but it's what happens next to the victim. They may fall and strike their head on concrete or on an object, and often it's that secondary blow to the head which proves to be most damaging.
You're absolutely right. I would say that probably 70% to 85% of all these cases, it's the what they hit their head on. It might be a curb, the pavement, the sidewalk, a car, a pool table, a picnic table, a toilet. But, you know, it's not the punch itself, although there are times where the punch itself is enough to kill someone.
Sure. And just finally, Steve Coquette, I mean, in you look at these 191 cases that did prove to be fatal, but as you mentioned, many others that were not. But again, we are learning more and more these days, more than ever now, about the effects of, say, things like concussions and the long-term damage that those can find. And I suppose there's probably people out there who have been in plenty of fights over the years, none of which have proved to be fatal, but the cumulative damage that has been acquired as a result of being hit in the head or giving blows to the head to others, that's the sort of damage that we're only now, I think, really starting to see on a much more detailed level of just how damaging the long-term impacts of concussion, of head trauma, and what it can do to affect one's quality of life.
Right. I think that's particularly true of boxers. It seems that many boxers who retire end up a little punch drunk later in life. Muhammad Ali might be an example,
sure.
Although who knows. What is it? He's got Parkinson's disease?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it's a very timely issue and one that I would strongly recommend people out there listening, especially the target audience here of younger men. This is something that's very revealing, very eye-opening. Again, our guest, Steve Coquette, he has looked at the issue of one-punch homicides, and there are many more than perhaps you would expect, 13 alone in Canada. He looks at 191 in total. You can view the trailer and read much more about his documentary, One Punch Homicide. Just go to the official website, onepunchhomicide.com. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Best of luck. Take care.
You too.
Steve Coquette joining us tonight. We will